You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The AI landscape is changing with incredible speed. What it brings for the future of the arts and all of us with careers in the creative arts and industries is unknown. But what we do know is that things are about to change. To hear about the future of the arts in the face of AI, I caught up with Professor Alex Sims of the University of Auckland. Here we are now. So we're talking today about the future of the arts in the face of accelerating AI. AI has accelerated very quickly over the past few years, especially over the last year, such that it's arrived and now seems to be part of our everyday lives. Can you give me an idea of how that acceleration happened and what the current AI landscape looks like at the moment?
For artists and creators more generally?
Yes.
Okay, well, the AI, different generative tools have been worked on for a long time, and they've been bubbling away, and all of a sudden, it seems like they've come from nowhere, but they haven't. You know, there's been an awful lot of work. But now they've been released, it has accelerated because people can see what's going on, they're building off them. For example, using the GPT 3.5 or 4 technology to... basically, almost like, it's a bit like, you know, pouring gasoline on a fire.
And what do some of those technologies look like, or what are they able to do?
Well, it depends. There's all different types. So a lot of people, or most people, would have used something like ChatGPT, and that's a generative AI for text. It can also be used for programming and coding and a whole lot of other things. There's also generative AI more for images and also for music. And what it will do, they're all different, so they've got very different things. They will have a lot of training data, and they will use that to create something. But there's a lot of sort of myths and fallacies around AI, which I constantly have to sort of try to tell people, remind people, because, you know, there's a lot of... a lot of the information has, for example, been scraped off the internet, a bit like Google, scraping it all. And then when you say you want to create an image and you put in your prompt, I don't know, a cat sitting on top of a tree smoking a pipe type of thing, it will then go off and use different images and put them together and do that. And some people think, well, okay, well, it's all been taken from somewhere, there's nothing original. But that was effectively the training data, and it is doing a lot more creative things. And in fact, I think, and not just me, other people think this as well, is that we think as humans that we are creative and a machine can't be creative. But in fact, we're not very creative as humans, because what we do is we have got all our experiences, we've got all our prior knowledge, and we use that to create new things. So we're very sort of blinkered in what we do. There are a few people who truly are creative, but even then, they're combining bits from different areas and making something new. Now, with AI, it's not a human, and it hasn't got all that experience, and it's not just limited to the training data. So it can come up with stuff that no human would even think. It just could not think of it. And the sort of the power of humans still is to see that material and then go, well, it's rubbish, rubbish, rubbish. Ah, I'm going to take that and develop off that.
Mm. So in a sense, it's the sifting through what is good or helpful or otherwise.
Yes, and also I'll give you a sort of an example of this, is that you still need people who know, who've got that deep subject matter experts, so the artists and things like that, they will have it. So this is an example that happened somewhere in the world a few months ago, so the technology's got even more advanced, is this was for an advertising agency, and we were doing a campaign for one of their clients, a big client, and what would have taken at least a week of lots of different people, like, you know, writers, copy editors, graphic designers, everyone like that. It took one person who was a subject matter expert in a lot of areas, using a combination of different AI tools, you know, Midjourney, ChatGPT and things like that, it took them under an hour to do what would have taken a team of people a week to do.
So in the light of that, that reality that will be adopted inevitably, businesses need to work more productively and want to reduce their costs as a fundamental. What does the future look like for artistic professionals like graphic designers, photographers in the business space?
Well, I think in the sort of short to medium term, they'll still definitely have a role to play, because it's not a case of anyone being able to do this. You know, you've still got to have that sensibility, know what works, what people will like. And also, it's still not as good as, often, as good as a human yet. For some things, other things it's better, and it will get even better. So they are still there. But, I mean, we're already seeing job losses. So a quick example, this happened in the States with a freelance writer, like a content writer, had 10 different clients, would write all the copy for them. They'd say, we want this. So do that, made a very good living off that. Overnight, has already lost all of those 10 jobs. And he went back and said, you know, but I'm better at writing than, you know, ChatGPT. And they came back and said, well, yeah, it's not quite as good as you, but it's free.
Yeah, and it does the job.
And it does a job in a fraction of the time. And so he has now retrained and is putting in air conditioning.
Whoa, okay. So it's I guess it's uncharted waters for all of us, seeing what the future actually might look like within those roles. I would like to speak about the work of visual artists working in the fine arts, which AI is being employed in, I guess, is a creative collaborator, we could say. How have you seen artists working in that space with AI technology?
Well, they're using it just fine. They're using it for a lot of things. But the trick is going to be producing work that the value will be something that doesn't actually look like it's being created by AI. Because if it looks like it's being created by AI, other people say, oh, it's just AI work. It's not worth anything, because they think they can do the same thing.
Right.
And we've already seen this. So there was a Reddit forum for digital artists, and one of the rules was you could not have any work created by AI. One of the artists, Google artists, put up some work there, and he was banned for a month. So they said, well, it's AI-generated. And then when he was able to prove, when he got back on, that it wasn't AI-generated. Mm. It had taken him a month to do all the rendering and all those types of things, but it looked like it was AI-generated. So you're going to, I personally think you're going to see a move away from slick polish type of things into something that's more authentic, that people go, okay, a human made that.
Right, so in terms of that artist you were speaking about, it was that instant recognition of something that looked like it had been made by AI and therefore devalued because it wasn't made by the hand of a human artist.
Yes, yes. Interesting. Even though it was.
Yes. Yes,
it is.
What do you make of the, or moving away from the visual arts, what do you make of the ongoing actors and writers strikes in LA, or what resolution do you see that coming to?
Well, it's understandable that they're doing it, because they are seeing their industry shrinking because, you know, as I've said, you need a lot fewer people. But I think history is a good tell us a lot, and I spend too much time looking at history because it helps you predict the future. And we've already had this.
Mm.
Okay, so if people want to have a look, back in the day, before we were born, music. So if you wanted to have music, you either had to be playing it yourself or get someone in to play. So all the hotels had a pianist, all of the movie theatres, everyone like that had people playing music. And then when recorded music came along, everyone goes, oh, we don't have to have these people anymore. We can get for much cheaper. And they had strikes and things over that trying to stop it. And, you know, that didn't work. So there was the jobs for musicians shrank down dramatically. People didn't stop creating, but there was a lot fewer, and you've ended up with basically superstars. Okay, some people at the top of the thing, they can dominate, do all of that, and then most people are just doing it for their fun, basically. Or maybe trying to make a living, but I mean, that's the way I see this playing out.
History may well repeat itself in that sense of us learning to live with and pivoting to make use of new technologies. I guess my last question would be, in light of all of this, what you think the law or regulations of protecting the work of an artist might look like. There's a lot of conversations happening at the moment, but they're happening very fast at this pace that we can't seem to keep up with. So I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, I was at a workshop yesterday on AI, so spending a lot of time on this with regulations. Very hard, and also it's sort of, I mean, so there is a real concern, not just for artists and creators and things, but for everybody about this technology, because it will make people a lot more productive and you need a lot fewer people. So the question is, what are we going to do with everyone?
Mm.
Now, just this might be a bit of a long answer, but we need to completely change our mindset and our economy, because what we have valued in the past, AI finds very easy. Okay, being an expert, writing well, you know, all those types of things, AI is doing it and will do it better than us very, very soon. Okay, what in the past we have so-called found easy, AI finds very hard. And so those skills, very valuable skills that have not been paid well, like caring for people, like teaching, those are the ones that need to be rewarded and valued.
Mm.
So we're going to go through a very painful process. But what we also need to be very careful about is that my worry and a lot of other people's worry is that businesses will go, great, we can save a whole lot of money. And I gave you that example of that writer who was just lost all his jobs. And then, you know, they will get the spoils of the victory type of thing. Mm. I mean, there's been talks years ago, and I've written on it about whether there should be tax if you're implementing these things, whether you actually have to pay a higher tax for some of the money to go back. Yes, I'm not sure if I answered your question.
No, so I guess you're saying that the benefits of AI have the ability to be reaped by a very few and therefore, I guess, create further divisions.
Yes, and there's also, I mean, you know, things like universal basic income, which people have, you know, said about it for a long time, and there are some benefits to that. But on the other hand, that's all about not just being paid some money but not having any ownership of anything as well. So you've got nothing there. It could be wonderful. It could be sort of a whole new utopia. But unfortunately, all the utopian dreams and ideals, they've never worked out.
Yes, yeah, exactly. And also to say that work and contributing to the world around you is a dignifying act. So to have that taken away from you is not just a monetary loss, but also a loss of sense of purpose in the world.
Oh, a huge amount. But that's why we need to change. There's lots of we need. We're desperately short of lots of people, but we just need to pay and recognise people for their valuable contributions and pay them more. And the people at the moment who, again, are doing those things which they think is very hard, and AI is doing it better, they won't want to give those positions up, and they will fight. Not quite to the death, but there's a whole lot of, you know, hidden assumptions and power structures behind all this.
Yes, oh, absolutely. Well, I guess it's something that we probably could talk for hours on and can't come to conclusions to at the moment.
Can I just say one thing quickly?
Yes, sure, Alex.
Just very quickly, practical advice, because I am a lecturer, is that, and people might thank me later for this, is that at the moment you can be average at something and you will get a job. That's not going to happen. You need to be exceptional. So everybody, there's two things I would say for everyone that's a student, is that you've got to be get very, very good and don't just try to get the minimum grades type of thing. But the second thing is, what dictates whether you get a job or not is also your social skills and your networks. Mm. And that's the benefit you've got at university. So do that. That's how you get your jobs. About 70% of the jobs that you get are through your weak ties of someone recommending you. So I know most students don't like teamwork, but honestly, being a team, might be a couple of years later, someone is trying to find someone for a role and they ask someone, go, oh, well, what about this person? They were really, really good. They've got these attributes. So that's my parting words.
Thank you, Alex, and hopefully it doesn't fall on deaf ears. That was Professor Alex Sims of the University of Auckland. She's a professor in the Department of Commercial Law at the Auckland Business School and was speaking to me about the future of the arts in the face of AI technology.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.